reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, offer no resistance to one who is evil. When someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other one as well. If someone wants to go to law over your tunic, hand him your cloak as well. Should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, go for 2 miles. Give to the one who asks of you. Do not turn your back on the one who wants to borrow. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father. For he makes his sun to rise on the bad and the good, and causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what recompense will you have? Do not tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what is so unusual about that? Do not the pagans do the same? So be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect." The Gospel of the Lord. I want to title the message today, "It Ends With Me." It ends with me. This gospel, in effect, the Lord is saying, look, there is a cycle to hatred and retribution. There is a cycle to all of these, the revenge. There's a cycle to it. And I want the cycle to stop. And I want the cycle to end with you. The Lord is sending us out, if you will, to break the cycle of hatred, retribution, violence, this ongoing anger. You did this to me, I'll do that to you. You're angry with me, I'm angry with you. It ends with me. Now, I want to remind you, we're in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. And last week, we looked at four of these antitheses. They're called antitheses because they're all worded, "You have heard that it was said, but I say to you." That's why they're called antitheses. Now, we looked at four of them last week, and these last two, then, we look at today. But please remember that there is something very important to remember, that the Sermon on the Mount is not as much prescribing something for us as it is describing it. It's describing what happens to the human person who is being transformed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we hear today is that what begins to happen to us is that we're less hateful, we're less vengeful, we're less anxious and uptight about slights against our dignity. We're less thin-skinned and less egotistical. We're more loving. And in fact, when the Lord really begins to live his life in us, we can even love our enemy. People who hate us and mean ill to us. Still, the Lord can work this miracle that we even love people like that. Now, I hope you can see that if that's going to be up to your flesh to do, it's going to last about 10 minutes. You know, and then we're right back into the soup. We're planning revenge. And so it is, it has to depend on the Lord, right? And you see, the Lord can do this for us. That's what the Lord is doing for us here. He's prescribing, but really what he's doing is more, he's describing what a transformed human person is like. Now, with that in mind, let's look at some of these details. They're astonishing. And frankly, they're completely against most of what the world is set up to think about. We'll look at that in just a moment, too. But look here, it says, "You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." Now, this was a law in the Old Testament that did not permit revenge, but it sought to limit it. In other words, if you steal my cow, I can't completely wipe out your farm. I can just take one of your cows. You know, an eye for an eye. If you put out my eye, I get to put out your eye, but I can't take both your eyes. See, now, this may sound absurd, but the point of it is simply, look, if you're going to take vengeance, it has to be limited and measured. So it's not as though the Old Testament is approving of vengeance, but seeking to put limits on it. Because you know what happens. You call me a name, and I don't just call you a name, but I strike you. And I start to escalate. And the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, is simply saying, look, if there is to be revenge, limit it. Measure for measure, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, injury for injury. But don't go beyond that. So of itself, it's not a terrible law, but the Lord is saying, look, when I live my life in you, you're not even going to want to take any revenge. You're not going to seek to get back. So much that may happen to you won't even bother you anymore. Now, the Lord then gives some examples. He gives some examples. He states something very bold to begin with. He says, you've heard that you can take an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you, don't even offer resistance to injury. Now, let's be careful with this text. First of all, the Lord is talking about us as individuals. Some have tried to take this text and make it the basis, if you will, for pacifism, that a nation, for example, should not have an army or even a police force, that there should be simply never any recourse that a nation should have to protect its citizens from unjust aggressors. But I think if you look with me at this text more carefully, the Lord is here speaking not of the duties of a nation, which does have duties to protect its citizens, but he is speaking to us as individuals. And particularly, he's not even talking to us about physical threats as much as threats against our dignity. And you'll see that as we look at these examples. Because listen, brothers and sisters, if someone comes after you to take your life, the Catechism is very clear on this. You not only have a right to try to protect your life, but you may, in fact, and do have a responsibility to try to save your life. Many of us have people depending on us. And if someone's charging at us with an axe or getting ready to shoot us, the Lord isn't saying offer no resistance in the sense that just let them kill you. The Lord is simply saying, again, self-defense here, you know, this is adequate, we need to do it. But what the Lord is really talking about here are not physical threats to our existence, but threats, if you will, to our dignity. Oh, my dignity, my sense of myself. You know, again, this is what the Lord is saying. I want you to lighten up a little. Now, let's look at some of these examples. If someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other one as well. Now, look, again, this sounds like a physical attack, and there is a physical component to it. But even in our culture, you know that if someone strikes you on the cheek, it's not so much the physical attack. It's a real attack on your dignity being slapped in the face, amen? I mean, it's not, you don't understand. It's not like, oh my gosh, my life has been threatened. Well, probably not. But it is very undignified to be struck on the cheek. Now the Lord says, listen, if someone strikes you, it says here, on your right cheek, turn it off of the other as well. Listen carefully, this is fascinating. People always struck with their right hand. So if you struck a person on their right cheek, you struck with the inside of your hand. But listen, when a person offered the other cheek, guess what? An even worse indignity. You're struck with the outside of the hand. An even worse indignity. Brothers and sisters, the Lord is saying, do not be so concerned about your dignity. And when I begin to live my life in you, people won't be able to get to you. You know, it's just not going to bother you. Because you're going to already know your dignity. And it's not going to depend on what someone says or doesn't say. Your dignity is not rooted in what other people think of you. Your dignity is rooted in the fact that I died for you, and that I've sanctified you, and that my Father loves you and is calling you to be with him forever. That is the source of your dignity, and no one can take that from you. So what the Lord is saying here is he's not just saying to you and me, lighten up. Because again, if that's going to depend on your flesh, it'll last 2 seconds. But in the end, he's saying, when I begin to live my life in you, your sense of your dignity will not be harmed by what other people say or do. Now listen, there's something very important here too. And that is that, as we see, there is this vision of, in terms of our dignity, that the Son of God died for me. How can it be then that someone cuts me off in traffic and I'm bent out of shape all day long about that? Something far greater has happened to me. And so it is the Lord is saying, when I live my life in you, you won't have to get back at other people when they assault your dignity. Now he goes on to say, here's something else. If someone wants to go to law over your shirt, hand him your cloak as well. Here, you want my shirt? Take my coat as well. Now, this one is, hey, wait a minute now. There have got to be some limits here, Father. And look, there are. You do probably have assets you need to protect. Someone just shows up at your house and says, I'm taking your house. Don't say, well, take the car with it. But the Lord is trying to illustrate something here. He's trying to say, you know, part of what can happen to us is that we get absolutely obsessed with our things, my stuff. Don't touch my things. And the Lord says, look, when I start to live my life in you, you're going to already be generous. Someone needs to use something of yours, you'll gladly let them. You won't be so uptight. If someone doesn't get all the proper permissions and do everything exactly the way you want, you're not going to be obsessed and overly attached to worldly things. Brothers and sisters, they're not yours anyway, are they? They all belong to God. Naked you came forth, naked you're going back out. And the Lord says, look, let me give you this gift to not be obsessed with your things and your stuff. Now, granted, you have assets to protect, so do I. It's not just for your sake, but perhaps your children or other family members. So the Lord is using this as an example. But please understand, don't miss this point. Too many of us are too easily worked up about my stuff and my things. And the Lord says, I can give you a new heart, and you're not going to be concerned about that. So if someone has a dispute with you about whether something that's yours is really theirs, you say, well, just have it. Take it. I don't care. You know, we won't be so worked up about those daily things. Now the Lord says, look, if someone wants to press you into service for 1 mile, go for two. In the ancient world, the Romans could take any Jewish man and point to him and say, you, carry this knapsack of mine. And according to the law, the Roman soldier could only make the man carry it 1 mile, 1,000 paces. And then he was free to put it down and go back to his business. And the Lord says, look, when I start to live my life in you, you're not going to be bent out of shape when people come to you and say, please help. Well, how come you're asking me? Why don't you ask somebody else? The Lord says, you're already going to be generous. You're going to be kind, and you're not going to worry about attacks on your dignity. What about my time? And you won't be so anxious and upset about all these things. And so when someone presses you into service or comes to you with a, and you might think, well, why are you coming to me? Why don't you go to someone else? And that won't happen. You just say, look, let's take care of this. And you'll generously respond. You won't just do the bare minimum, but you'll you'll do it all. You'll go the extra mile. And again, the Lord says, I can do this for you. See, so he's saying, don't get all worked up about attacks on your dignity. Well, why are you touching my stuff? Or how come you're making me do something and not somebody else? Or how dare you call me a name? And on it goes. The Lord says, look, you don't have to. You can be free of all that. So someone says, well, they're really pushing my buttons. Well, don't give them buttons to push. Amen? And the Lord says, look, if you come to me, I'm going to take away the buttons. People won't be able to get you roused up, and you're going to break the cycle. Do you see the idea? You're not going to retaliate. You call me a name, I'm going to call you a name to the second power. You strike me, and I'll strike you back. You take something of mine, and I'll take something of yours. The Lord says, look, break that cycle. Break it. Now, Dr. Martin Luther King, as you know, had a lot of important things to teach us on this with nonviolence. And love of enemy. And listen, you recall this statement of his, but it's worth recalling here. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can drive out darkness. And hatred cannot drive out hatred. Only love can drive out hatred. Do you hear the wisdom? And the Lord is asking you and me to get out on the field. Satan is moving the ball downfield, and the way he's moving it, you say this to me, I say this to you. You do this to me, I do it to you. And Satan gets two victories for the price of one. The Lord is saying, break the cycle. You're on my team now. Don't let Satan move the ball. Move it back. When you get hatred, give back love. When you have someone call you everything but a child of God, be quiet. Accept that your dignity is not rooted in what they said anyway, and don't retaliate. Break the cycle. Stop the hatred. It ends with me. It ends with you. Now, I promise you, the Lord can give you a heart that will do that. The Lord then goes on and says something else, and I won't develop this fully tonight. I don't have the time, but he says, I want you to know this. I can give you a heart that even loves your enemy. You know, brothers and sisters, we experience, all of us, that some people have a hatred toward us. They're impatient with us. They don't seem to like us. All of us have, we experience that. But I wonder if you've ever thought, people usually have a reason that they're angry. People usually have a reason that they're hateful. And it may have nothing to do with you or me. But I don't know if we really know some of the grief, some of the pain that some people have had to endure in life. Sometimes people are angry because they've had a tough life. I'm not excusing them. But you know, somewhere in our hearts, the Lord can give us a compassion, even for hateful and spiteful people. Some people are angry because they're fearful. They see in you a beauty or an excellence, and they feel threatened by it. And maybe they feel threatened by it because their father laughed at them when they were young. Who knows the grief or the pain that may be behind that anger? I am not excusing it. I am simply saying that the Lord can give us an understanding and a compassion to realize that some of the anger directed at us, some of the hate, has nothing to do with me. It's about that person and their pain. Maybe it's about something that goes all the way back to when they were a little boy or a little girl, and they should have had love, but all they got was hate. And all they got was ridicule. I don't know. I don't excuse it. I just try to understand. And I pray you, as I must pray for myself, that we can begin to develop something of a heart for people. And again, the Lord can do that for us. The Lord can give us a heart that is compassionate, that is understanding, that does not take all of this personally, that is not obsessed with our own dignity and our own rights and our own property and our own things. The Lord can give us a freedom so that even those who trouble us and vex us, we can begin to develop a love, a real love. Now, in all of us, I'm just going to conclude on this thought. In all of us, there's this voice that says, this is foolish. You're going to be a doormat. You're going to get killed. Well, brothers and sisters, I want to just finish with what St. Paul said. Because when I die, I want you to write something on my tombstone. Now mark it down. I'm not planning to die anytime soon, but when I die, I want you to write this on my tombstone. Monsignor Charles Pope, fool for Christ. Listen to what Paul says. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you considers himself wise in this world, let him become a fool so as to become truly wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in the eyes of God. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. You call me this, I call you that. You take from me, I take from you. Brothers and sisters, that gets us nowhere. Again, Martin Luther King said it very well. In a land of an eye for an eye, everyone ends up blind. That's foolishness. It is not the gospel that is foolishness. But if this world wants to call it foolishness, then fine. Call me a fool for Christ. And please put it on my tombstone. And so again, brothers and sisters, the Lord is saying this to us. I can change your heart, give you a new heart. I can put my love in your heart, my compassion and my understanding. I can give you a new mind so that you see things differently, think of things differently, have different priorities. You're not obsessed with what the world is obsessed with. Because of that, you have a new heart. So the Lord is saying to us, I offer you today a gift. You can take it or leave it. But I promise you in the Lord Jesus Christ, my brothers and sisters, because he's done a lot of work with me in my own life, with my own anger. There's a time in my life when I was a very angry man. And I'm not boasting. I'm just telling you what the Lord did for me. But so much of that is gone now. It's just gone. And I didn't do it. He took it away. Some people say, I don't get angry enough about some things. I don't know. But I'm just going to say that the Lord can do this for us. And I am a witness, and I promise you in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I know many of you already know it, that the Lord can take care of these things in our life and give us a new mind and a new heart. Amen.